Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I'm joined, as always, by Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at Mike Tagliere NFL Tags. How we doing, man?
Doing good, dude. Doing really good. The endorphins are flowing through me. I just got back from a workout a little bit ago, and it's just nice to be able to just like do an exercise and like go to the gym and, you know, get some energy and able to do these podcasts.
And to get away from watching tape for, you know, countless hours on.
That's an added bonus, one that I don't talk about very much, but it's definitely an added bonus at this point of the year.
Yep, for sure. Well, hey, we're joined again by Travis May of RotoViz and Dynasty Command Center podcast. You can find him on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. And make sure to check out the RotoViz rookie guide. You can find more information there on his Twitter profile. Travis, how we doing, man?
Yeah, good to be here. Just talking about some rookies. And the rookie guide is just, it's always fun putting that together with the Dynasty Command Center guys. We merged with RotoViz, and now we're kind of working together to make a product that we've never done before. So I'm excited to do that with Curtis and the guys over there. So yeah, definitely check that out. But thanks again for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, we talked about quarterbacks and running backs on the previous show, so make sure you check out that episode if you haven't already. Today, we're going to shift gears and look specifically at wide receivers and tight ends. Just like last time, we're going to send this around the room and provide our top five for the wide receivers first, and then we can dive a bit further into each player and any differences that we have. So I'll just send this around the room, Tags, and then Travis, and then I'll finish it up. Who are your top five wide receivers?
Top five: Jerry Jeudy, number one; CeeDee Lamb, two; Jalen Reagor, three; Justin Jefferson, four; and then five. It's like I have like this this trio kind of going through there. Henry Ruggs is in there. T. Higgins is in there. I actually want to give a quick shout out to Quintez Cephas. He didn't make it in my top five, but that he's borderline, man. He's moving up my board rapidly. The more I watch him, the more fun I had. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. But that final spot was really tough for me to. It just depends on what your team needs.
Yeah, well, nice. The Quintez Cephas name drop is one that's interesting. He struggled with injury, struggled with some drama, kind of getting suspended from the team, missing a gear. But man, he is talented. So he's got some jumps. I think he's gonna leap out of the building. But my top five, I've got Jalen Reagor, number one; CeeDee Lamb, number two; Jerry Jeudy, number three; T. Higgins, four; and Laviska Shenault at five. And honorable mention has to be Henry Ruggs and Justin Jefferson, kind of in that same tier range at five. I mean, that's probably going to shift around here due to draft capital and landing spot. But yeah, those are my top five.
Awesome. For me, I have Jerry Jeudy at number one, Henry Ruggs at number two. I have CeeDee Lamb at three, and then Jalen Reagor at four, and Justin Jefferson at five here. So a lot of overlap here, a lot of the same names, but there are some differences here as far as ranking and position. So I want to let's start out the conversation here with Jerry Jeudy. So Tags, Jerry Jeudy, he's number one for both you and I, and Travis has him at number three there. So what does Jerry Jeudy bring to the table?
everything. Jerry Jeudy, he's one of the most polished prospects you'll see come out. It's kind of like a Calvin Ridley thing with me, where it doesn't even matter to me what he does at the combine. It didn't matter to me with Ridley either. And this is going to be a bone I'm going to have to pick with Travis here, because if you want to say Lamb, I understand why people are starting to do that. But the thing for me when it comes to Jeudy that separates him like head and shoulders above everybody else is like route running translates at every single level. It's something that you don't have to worry, like wonder, does it translate? Does this skill translate? Can CeeDee Lamb break tackles like he did at Oklahoma? Can he do it in the NFL like the way he did? Can he get open? Because like it's a lot of smarts with CeeDee Lamb, where it's like he's an intelligent football player. Whereas Jeudy, it's physical traits that you cannot teach. Like the guy stops on a dime. Like he creates a bigger target for his wide receiver with the amount of separation he gets. And if he has a quarterback that throws, if they develop some sort of chemistry where he's throwing before Jeudy gets out of his break, it's literally indefensible. Like you cannot defend him. So I'm really curious to see where Jeudy lands. He's my number one in this because, again, I have zero, like absolutely zero concern with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to find a bone to pick with Jerry Jeudy. I think some people that want to question his BMI because it wasn't perfect or whatever. That's just really getting too nitpicky for me. But definitely has a lot of things going for him. You really can't knock Jerry Jeudy. He's one of the best route runners. He just creates separation in really strange ways. Without touching people, he just makes them fall apart. And so that's hilarious to watch. And I'm not saying he's not an incredible playmaker having him at the three. I just think that top tier, I have Rager, Lamb, and Jeudy all together. And I see the physical traits that Rager has, and they're elite. And he's going to just show off. And I really can't wait to see that. And just kind of reminiscent of what DJ Moore did when he came out. Not a lot of people were aware of his elite athleticism. And they're like, oh, wow, he can jump that high. He's that agile. That's going to be the week that Rager has.
Yeah, let's spend a little time here talking about Jalen Reagor out of TCU. So a lot of people will look at Reagor's game, and the offense was terrible at TCU. The quarterback could not get him the ball. They just did not build the entire offense around him, which they should have. And so for him, he's more of a player that you want just to get the ball in his hands, right? And let him create. He's electric after the catch and with the ball in his hands. So Travis, you have him all the way up at one. Tags has him at three. I have him at four. And again, we're talking about the depth of this class, where I get down to about like wide receiver 13, where I'm finally at the point where I'm like, I'm starting to get not so excited about these guys. Everyone else above it, I'm super excited about. And so to have these guys splitting hairs here at the top isn't necessarily a huge, huge deal. But Travis, do you have any concerns about when people talk about Jalen Reagor and talk about him in kind of the same breath as a Percy Harvin, which we know that Percy Harvin wasn't necessarily like the most consistent player for fantasy football. You would get the ball in his hands and he would be able to create, but the offense wasn't built around him. Do you have any concerns about him needing to end up in the right landing spot with an innovative offensive coordinator?
No, I don't. I think a lot of people see his body type and assume it's you know, it's just Percy Harvin, and they see his return ability and it's, oh, yep, that's Percy Harvin. But he's more than that. He can adjust to the ball really well, mid-route, really at the catch point, incredibly well. He attacks the ball. He's not that body catcher. He doesn't have any really negative trait that really pops on film for me. He does, you know, he can be that yak guy. He had to be that yak guy for TCU because the quarterbacks that kept changing and kept failing just couldn't get him the ball past 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. And so that was kind of embarrassing for the program. He had to, similar to, again, to DJ Moore, he had to deal with six different quarterbacks in his time at TCU. And so I don't know how in the world he ever posted any non-embarrassing numbers, but his adjusted dominator, his yards per team, pass attempt numbers, everything you want to see metric-wise is there. The physical traits are there. The yak ability there. The return ability is there. I really just don't know what I dislike with Rager. I think some people look at just the raw stats from his final season and go, man, he really fell apart. No, TCU fell apart. And that sucks for Rager, but he's not changed. He's getting better. He's getting stronger. And on top of that, I mean, the dude is just ridiculously strong. And he squats 600 plus pounds, benches over 400 or whatever. It's just, it's insane what he does. So just a strength, size, speed freak, really. I mean, he's not like a 6'3 guy, but man, he's thick for his size. So I don't know what people don't like about him.
Awesome. Well, let's move on. There's another guy that we need to talk about here. That's CeeDee Lamb. You guys have him both at 2. I have him at 3. For me, CeeDee Lamb isn't necessarily the most established route runner, doesn't necessarily have great release off the line of scrimmage, but he makes up for it with insane catch radius, contested catch ability, and phenomenal hands. And so do you guys see anything in Lamb's game that makes you concerned at the next level, or is he necessarily just this like locked and loaded, hey, we're good to go with this guy being a, you know, solid 10-year starter in the NFL?
I mean, one of my concerns with him was weight, being at 189 is what it was listed, and then he weighed in at 198 at the combine, so I'm curious what it's going to do to his time. He's one of those guys where I don't know if I view him as the guy yet, where I think I'd prefer him to walk into like a Calvin Ridley situation where he's the number two in the offense and they're able to move him around. You know, he could play the slot, he could play in the perimeter. If he walks in as an alpha, if he's not quite that established route runner that can gain separation against the best cornerbacks in the NFL, that's going to be really tough for a team to get him the ball consistently. So I do like Lamb. Is it concerning enough to drop him out of my top three? No. And if you want to put Rager ahead of Lamb, I have zero qualms about that. The Percy Harvin thing, I mean, Percy Harvin was a really good football player, so I don't think that's a knock on him. I actually think that there's like a little bit of Brandon Cooks to his game, like a sturdier base at 206 pounds. So I do like Jalen Rager a lot, and I remember when the offseason started, I mean, nobody was talking about Rager as like the top receiver in this class, and it slowly caught on, because I remember a friend, he had texted me saying, hey, I think Rager's going to be a sleeper, you know, in rookie drafts. I'm like, dude, people are not going to be sleeping on this kid. Like, he's legit. He's good. People are going to be worried about the height. It's almost like a John Ross syndrome. You know, like when Ross, I was high on John Ross. I liked him a lot. I thought he was more than just a speed guy. And then he fell into an offense where he really wasn't utilized. And then you started to see Zach Taylor at the beginning of last year use him in a way that wasn't just that speed guy. I'm really curious to where that career arc's going to go. So it doesn't like, you know what I mean? Like where people are automatically going to say Rager shouldn't be in the conversation for number one just because of his size. But I mean, it almost 5'11", 206 pounds. He's not a little dude. And if he runs a high 4.2, a low 4.3, yeah, sign me up. Like this, I have him at 3 right now. If you want to put him at 2, I'm fine with that. I won't put him ahead of Judy, but if you want to put him at 2, I have no issue. So yeah, these are both talented guys. The one that I really wanted to ask you about, Kyle, is because you're really high on Ruggs. I mean, in terms of like as a player, he's someone that I'm like kind of like, he's the one that I'm really, really worried about the offense he lands in. I don't think that he's like a can't miss player. I think Rager is more of like that guy, whereas Ruggs is, he's going to be a speed demon for sure. But I don't know if he's that, I don't know if he's a can't miss prospect.
Yeah, with Ruggs, people are going to immediately talk about the speed, and that's going to be kind of where they stop the conversation, and I don't think that they should. With Ruggs, and again, you mentioned like kind of that John Ross syndrome that people kind of just will freak out over. Well, we don't want to make the same mistake that we did with Ross. I think Ruggs is so much more than that. Ruggs possesses the ability to go over the middle of the field and make those contested catches in tight windows. He can jump out of the gym. Like, don't be surprised if we're talking about Henry Ruggs as first place in the vertical jump. You know, I just think for him, he can go up and get it. There isn't a ton of evidence on this year's tape with Alabama, though, of them throwing downfield, but he can, in 2018 they did, he can track the ball extremely well, and there's a clip of him in 2018 going up against Ole Miss, I think, where he catches, they're up by like 35 or something like that, ridiculous number, and he charges head on into four defenders to cross the goal line, and he takes a shot, but he gets into the end zone. And that's kind of the player that I love to see. Competitive, tough as nails kind of player to go along with his speed, great hands, contested catchability. So again, there isn't very much evidence of it from the 2019 tape where I would look at, you know, Ruggs and say, okay, well, if I was just doing 2019 tape evaluation, I would be a little concerned too. 2018 showed me a bit more. My only concerns are his release and his ability to utilize his explosiveness with his release. I saw, but I think those can be, that can be ironed out. And once he figures that out, goodness gracious, like NFL cornerbacks aren't going to be able to guard this guy. So I really, really like him. And I think that he, while I don't necessarily think that he can be a number one wide receiver in the NFL, again, with all these guys, landing spot's going to matter quite a bit. And so I'm interested to see, but he is a prospect that I really, really liked. You guys had T. Higgins at 4 and 5. Travis had him at 4, and then Tags had him at 5, 6, 7, whatever, you know, combination that he threw out there. So Travis, give me the elevator pitch here on T. Higgins. I really like him. I have him all the way down at 10, though, because of just the depth of this class. So talk me into T. Higgins. Give me the elevator pitch for him.
He's another high pedigree guy. I mean, he was one of the top rated wide receiver prospects coming into college, went and just produced as much as you really can within the Clemson system, having fellow four stars alongside you and such, having an adjusted dominator around 30%, but his, you know, yards per team pass attempt effectiveness being right on par for the average, you know, drafted NFL wide receiver. He meets, you know, the minimum thresholds for production in many cases, and you look at his size and his body control and just the smarts that he uses in playing and adjusting to the ball well. I think just from a film aspect of things, there's a lot to like. For me, it's a big wide receiver, big bodied wide receiver that can do a little bit of everything really well. To me, there's not one elite trait or elite metric that just locks him in as a surefire no-brainer, which is why he's kind of in a tier just below the kind of top three for me. But I still like him quite a bit, and the NFL clearly likes him quite a bit. I think he's going to get significant draft capital, probably top 50 picks this year. And if that happens, he's probably going to lock in right at the wide receiver four spot for me.
Absolutely. Tags, did you have anything else to add with T. Higgins there?
Higgins is someone that his ball tracking is elite. His hands are very, very, very good. It's weird. He gets behind the defense quite a bit. He's not a great route runner just yet, but if he's like someone like AJ Green, where, do you remember when AJ Green at the beginning of his career he wasn't known as like somebody that was a route runner, but then he got with Calvin Johnson in the offseason. He's like, I want to be a better all around player. And Calvin helped make him a well-rounded receiver, and he became one of the best in the NFL. I feel like if Higgins can develop in that intermediate area of the field and kind of get open underneath more often, he would be like that full package, like one of those guys that you look for. He's not there yet. It's going to take some development with him, but from everything I see with him, he's just like a natural. He's like a natural football player. He does things, and he doesn't make things look too difficult when he does them. So if he can develop a little bit more as a route runner, specifically underneath, you know, getting open underneath the defense, I would like him a lot more. But right now, he's kind of like that deep threat. He's obviously a big deep threat. He offers you size to throw it up to in the red zone as well, but a little bit lower than some of these other guys, because he's not polished. He's not as polished as someone like Justin Jefferson, who... Yates, I'm going to let you talk about Jefferson, because I know he's like one of your favorites.
Yeah, I absolutely love what Justin Jefferson brings to the table. In my notes, I wrote down that he's a separation artist. This guy just runs incredible routes. Of course, having Joe Burrow throwing you the ball doesn't hurt, but he was always open on nearly every play. He's a mismatch out of the slot on linebackers and even slot corners due to his size. So he came in at 6'1", 202. So that's great size for someone who you can play him outside or in move him into the slot. Kind of in that like Davante Adams kind of player and that role at the NFL level. So for me, I really, really like Justin Jefferson enough to put him here at 5. And so, and Tags, I know that you have him up there at 4 too. So Tags, what do you see with Justin Jefferson?
Love him. I mean, he has the height you want. The frame is a little bit smaller. The reason that the frame is a thing for me is because he did play the slot an awful lot at LSU. And I can kind of see him in that like Marcus Colston type role where you use him as a big slot receiver and he does gain separation. He can play on the perimeter, so he's movable. Ideally, I just think he fit that role extremely well. He understands coverages. It's like the subtleties in his routes where it's the average viewer doesn't see it, and they don't see where the separation comes from, where it's like he waits till that moment and he sees the defender's hips open up just one split second, and then he's cutting the other way and it's gaining multiple yards of separation, and you're seeing easy throws from Burrow, and it's like, how did he get open that easily? And people think that it's because it's Ja'Marr Chase pulling coverages, and that's what happens when you align in the slot. That's why some of these bigger number one wide receivers, you're seeing coaches move them into the slot more often, because it helps evade some of that top tier cornerbacks. It might put a safety on them, it might bring a nickel cornerback that's coming off the bench onto him. So there's a lot of things that benefited Justin Jefferson, and I don't know if I want him on the perimeter in a full-time role, but playing the slot as a big slot receiver, I would absolutely love that. And I mean, I don't see the Saints moving on from Traquan Smith just yet, but I would love to see him in that Colston role in the Sean Payton offense. But speaking of Rager and Jefferson, the Packers are one of the teams that have met with both of those guys, and if you could imagine Justin Jefferson getting, you know, with Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, that would be a match made in heaven.
The question is whether or not they're both going to be there when the Packers pick. Travis, do you have thoughts on Justin Jefferson here or anything that you wanted to add?
Yes. So Justin Jefferson, I mean, I think he profiles perfectly as the, you know, the modern, just big enough or big slot receiver that's not that tiny 5'9", 5'10", 5'11 guy. That was why he was open all the time, is because he didn't really face a whole bunch of, you know, press coverage on his releases out of the slot. He was, you know, working with a lot of clean space at times, but he works routes really well, can create separation with just subtle head movements and things like that. So really impressed by Justin Jefferson from a film standpoint and really just production standpoint. He was the guy for 2 years for LSU. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase came on strong this year, but man, he was leading the charge in terms of wide receiver production for a while. So I think he can do that and be the guy on an NFL roster as well. So he's right up in there in that tier, in this range for me too.
Yeah, and as we know, there have been some pretty good wide receivers that have come out of LSU over the past few years. And if you want to get sort of a glimpse into who Justin Jefferson is, go watch the Oklahoma game in the College Football Playoff. You'll figure out very quickly who he is. Before we move on to tight ends here, I want to take a second to thank the sponsor of today's podcast, Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction has tons of items to choose from to fill out your man cave. Their daily auctions have hundreds of signed memorabilia to choose from that you are going to absolutely love. I was taking a look at some recent items that went. Check this out. A Mark Ingram signed Ravens logo football went for only $44. And an Allen Robinson signed Bears jersey went for only $40. Pristine Auction is the place to go to get your signed authentic memorabilia of your favorite players at unbelievably affordable prices. It's quick and free to register, so head over to pristineauction.com. That's PristineAuction.com. And when registering, enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. Again, that's pristineauction.com to start building your dream man cave today. All right, guys, let's move on to tight ends here. So the tight end position definitely is an interesting one for fantasy football, right? Very few players come out and make an immediate impact. And so we don't have to spend a ton of time on each of these guys, but I wanted to get our thoughts out there. Let's just go around the room here again. Top five for the tight end position.
Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue, number one for me. Jared Pinkney out of Vanderbilt, two. Thaddeus Moss, LSU, three. Hunter Bryant, number four out of Washington. And then Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame at five. I don't even know why I have him there, to be honest with you. I watched Kmet, and I mean, I don't know, Travis, maybe I'm wrong, but he reminds me of, like, it kind of looks like I'm watching a 38-year-old Jason Witten run routes, and he gets open at times, and it's like, is it just intelligence that's allowing him to do that? And I know some people have talked about him as high. I want to say, was it Mel Kiper or someone that mocked him in like the end of the first round or beginning of the second? And I was like, I don't get it, but I have him at five just because he did seem to get open more than I guess I thought he should have, which is kind of how Jason Witten kind of made a career.
I like Kmet too. He's probably my four. For me, I've got Hopkins one as well. I've got Hunter Bryant two, Albert Okwuegbunam at three, Cole Kmet at four, and then Thaddeus Moss at five. But he was a little bit shorter than you typically want a tight end to be. I weighed in pretty thick, and he's only 6'2". He might drop out of my top five unless he's actually pretty fast at the size that he is. Might see, you know, Harrison Bryant work their way into the top five for me after this week.
Yeah, for me, spinning right off of that, I do have Thaddeus Moss at number one. Now, there are some concerns. I do have the concerns that you just mentioned there with his size. He came in shorter than I thought he was going to be. I still see great hands, great catch radius, a good route runner, fluid in and out of his breaks. So for me, I still really like him, and he's a mauler in the run game too. We can't forget that. So there are some clips where he's like wide open. I think it was in one of the College Football Playoff games. He's wide open and he takes it, you know, 60 yards or 50 yards for a touchdown. But, you know, you're talking about, okay, how much was that really him, or how much was the fact that he was wide open? So for me, Thaddeus Moss out of LSU, Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue, Hunter Bryant out of Washington at number three, Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame at four, and then Albert O. I won't try it, Travis. So out of Missouri there. So
I'm really curious to hear Travis's take on Albert O, because he's someone that I actually loved, because I thought he was going to come out last year, and I remember watching his 2018 film and thinking, I'm like, wow, this guy would have been my number two tight end in that class, and I loved him, and I was so mad that he didn't come out, and I'm like, oh, I'll look forward to it in 2020. And I watched his 2019 film. I don't think I've ever been more disappointed watching a football player in my life. Honestly, like the guy had all the physical tools, and he just looked like he was there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he, I don't know if he lost passion for the game. I don't know if he didn't care. Whatever the case is, like, I just don't know how he's going to get back in my good graces. Please tell me something that you saw to him, or was there a reason that maybe he didn't look so good in 2019?
I think a lot of people were thinking that Missouri was going to be better than they were, and that was a disappointment to the whole team. And Kelly Bryant just absolutely struggled to hit anyone downfield and really get it anywhere near a place where Albert O could just create enough separation to kind of make a play. There were a lot of times where he was just missing Albert O, which is pretty hard to do at 6'5", 260. And really at the Vandy game, I remember one play specifically, he actually, Kelly Bryant was the reason Albert O got hurt. He threw it up way too high. Albert O got hit in the legs and flipped upside down. He landed directly on his head. It looked really rough. And I think that was just kind of a summary of how that season went for Missouri as a program. They just kind of, you know, you get this Clemson transfer and you think, oh, he's going to be the savior and he's going to fix it. We're going to be a good offense. And then Albert O realizes, oh wow, Drew Locke was way better than you. And so that's just kind of disappointing for him. So maybe there was a little bit of that, but he still posted a ridiculous touchdown percentage on his receptions as he did throughout his entire career. He's just a scoring machine, super fast for his size, 6'5", 260. That's super, super thick. I mean, that's like Gronk type thick. And if he's athletic, I'm going to be really excited.
Well, guys, let's look at two guys who can make probably the biggest potential impact here in year one for fantasy football. It's Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue. And let's talk about him really quick, and then we'll talk about Hunter Bryant. Tags, you have Hopkins at one. Travis, you have Hopkins at one. I have him at two. So, Tags, what do you see there with Bryson Hopkins?
He's so good. The first thing that you notice, like if you were to sit down at a computer and just and pull up Bryson Hopkins' film, you'd be like, this guy's a tight end. He moves like a wide receiver. He runs a full route tree. He's ideal for a system that uses two tight ends. Like, you know, we talk about the Eagles with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. He's the Ertz of that group. He's not someone that you want to keep in and block very often, but he can run routes with the best of them. He does run a full route tree. And if he lands in a spot that utilizes multiple tight ends, like let's say that the Colts were a team that took him to fill that Ebron role and they just kept Doyle where he's at, I would love Hopkins. I would actually draft him in some redraft leagues. He's an athletic freak that moves. He moves like you're not supposed to be able to move the way he does at 6'5", 245 pounds.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, I might be a little bit biased because I went to Purdue, Boilermaker here. But yeah, he was exactly what the doctor ordered for that offense this last year with Rondale Moore going down, them having to go to basically their preseason quarterback four. And still found a way to produce and have 60 catches, 800 yards, really impressive. So I think he can really succeed anywhere, but I want to see him in that move tight end role, not necessarily just the inline blocker guy. But he can do that, but man, that'd be a waste of his skills.
Yeah, completely. Hunter Bryant, more of that prototypical move tight end. We talk about him in kind of the same breath as an Evan Engram type role. He actually came in a little bit heavier than I thought he was going to be weighing in at the combine. And so, Travis, when you watch Hunter Bryant, you have him at number two. What are you seeing on the football field, and what do you think his impact could be in fantasy football right out of the gate?
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned with his long speed, but I think he can plug in and be a move tight end similar to Hopkins. And for me, I think both of them probably go round two. So I'm not really worried. He's going to check a lot of boxes as far as capital goes, most likely. Yeah, he struggled to stay healthy some. That might be a concern as well. But that's just why he's a little bit lower for me than Hopkins.
Can we give a special shout out to Adam Trautman out of Dayton?
Yeah.
No, it's almost like one of those guys that he's a terrible blocker. Like, don't ask him to block right now. But he's a converted quarterback, and the dude is massive. And he has plenty of burst off the line of scrimmage for a big man. He's just someone that I'm really interested in watching.
Yeah, yeah. And so he also posted, like, what, a 40% dominator or something almost, which is ridiculous for in terms of production scores go. I mean, like normal tight ends are like hanging around, like good tight ends are hanging around like 15 to 20. He's like, nah, I'm going to double that.
Yeah, there's just so many questions like with the competition that he played and then like the converting the positions. It's like it's a very raw prospect, but one that intrigued me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, completely. And again, we'll be doing more of these shows where we'll be able to dive in deep into some of these prospects. But again, yeah, like Tag said, Adam Trautman, tight end out of Dayton, is one that you need to be paying attention to. All right, guys, that's all the time we have for today. Again, huge thank you to Travis May for coming on the show. Remember to follow him on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. You can follow both Tags and I on Twitter at @MikeTagliereNFL and at @KyleYNFL. And again, a huge thank you to Pristine Auction for sponsoring today's podcast. Don't forget to head on over to pristineauction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. And when registering, enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. And remember to head on over to youtube.com/fantasypros and hit the subscribe button to be notified when the next Fantasy Pros podcast drops. For Mike Taglier and Travis May, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.